It's time for the Monday Waffle, a podcast dedicated to all things West Australian Football League. Your hosts Michael Stamp and Jack Davidson are joined by Tara Carlin, Bonnie Rayner, Chaddy De Hare with expert boundary riding information, analysis of last week's game, forecast of next week's game. Did you get your tips in? Did you get your tips out? What are you planning to do next weekend? If it involves West Australian footy, just make sure you start your week with the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to another round of the Monday Waffle. Today I'm joined by Michael Stamp, and phoning it in is Chaddy De Hare. How are
Thanks,
you guys?
Yeah, very good, Jack. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's good to be all together again.
Yeah, fantastic. Got the dream team. Now, even more exciting than having the dream team back together is next week, this round, round 23, the last round of the home and away season, and then we're into the semis.
Yeah, I think like a lot of teams in the top four, we're just waiting for the finals to start with, you know, the top four's been set for a few weeks now, hasn't it, Katie?
Yeah, that's right. And Claremont, even though they won, unfortunately, East Fremantle sewed up that top four spot and with a big win over Swannies.
Yeah, and Subiaco went down on Friday night to South Fremantle. I think they were taking a little bit easy, I think, Jack.
Yeah, that's not great footy, though,
no,
I think.
A bit risky, bit risky. But speaking of South Fremantle, new coach announced last week, Todd Curley, dual premiership player with West Perth and former coach of the Falcons. And he's had some AFL experience as well with the Fremantle Dockers coaching them and played with the Bulldogs and Collingwood. So a good signing for the Bulldogs, Katie?
Yeah, it is a good signing, but it's a bit of a shame you see Paul Hazelby. They've won four in a row now, South, and yeah, just really doing well towards the end of the year. So
yeah,
it's good to see South winning, but it'll be interesting to see what Todd Curley can do for them next season.
Yeah, but is it a little bit too little too late with Hazelby going now?
I don't know.
Just trying to stir the pot, Katie. Sorry. To the first game of the round, the Friday night game, South Vrio v Subi, 15-9-99 to 12-13-85. Stampy.
Yeah, they won their fourth game in a row now, and according to their coach, they're the hottest team in the competition. We were down in the rooms after and had a bit of a listen, didn't we, Katie?
Yeah, that's right. He was pretty pleased, Hazelby, which is fair enough, though, because they had a good win. But someone who wasn't pleased was Jared Schofield. He was very, very upset in the quarter-time huddle.
He was swearing quite a bit, and we can't really repeat that on today's podcast. But, yeah, very, very angry man. But same as Claremont, sort of, we'll get onto them later, but South Fremantle, they lost 10 of their first 13 games, and they're sort of like the hottest team in the competition as well, Jack.
Yeah, well, they've won three of the last four wins that they've had have been over top four teams.
Yeah.
The latest casualty obviously being Subi, 14 points. Where's this coming from? It's like Claremont, you know, 6 weeks ago. Where's it all coming from?
Yeah.
I know you reckon Subi sort of phoned this one in for safety and maybe a bit of rest, but, you know, that's still...
They rested two of their players as well.
Mm.
Shane Yaron and Wade Toomey didn't play on Friday night. So, yeah, look, I don't think they played their best footy. But credit to South Fremantle, played really good footy and finishing the season really strong.
Yeah, look, the Bulldogs kicked the only four goals of the first and led by 29 points at two different times. Katie, what do you reckon?
No, I think, I thought they were quite outstanding to be honest, watching them. Ashton Hams, he finished with 33 touches, 9 marks, and kicked a goal on the three-quarter time siren, which was very good. And Schloyth as well, he was everywhere, 28 touches. Kolika was really good as well, 23. So, yeah, South, I thought, were pretty impressive, to be honest.
Yeah, but what about Super? They didn't get their first goal until the second quarter, thanks to Boland. Thanks to Matt Boland.
Yeah, that's right. So, pretty interesting for Subi, I guess. Kyle Horsley, though, was good again. He had 28 touches, and Jason Bristow, 27, and also Justin Joyce, 23. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what comes this week against East Fremantle, I guess.
And that's a really big game as well. East Fremantle have a lot to play for in that one. George Hampson's influence was really limited by Jared Parry. He had 22 touches, but, you know, didn't have as much influence on the half forward flank as he usually does. But the Bernie Naylor medal, I think, is all sewn up.
Saunders.
Now, Tara Carlin, Monday Waffle's own, she hasn't joined us for a couple of months now, but at the start of the season, she picked him, so she's still boasting about that. So credit to her. He's kicked 54 now, and he's 6 goals in front over Matthew Boland. So
you'd have to say he's got it locked in.
I think Benny's got it locked in now. So good on him in his return season coming off that injury last year.
It's the Monday Waffle.
Even though Claremont recorded their 5th straight win over the Falcons on the weekend, they are officially out of finals contention. They won 8-6, 54 to the Falcons, 6-12, 48 in a really defensive game that I just didn't really enjoy at all, Jack.
Yeah, just seeing that West Perth were shutting them down at every turn that they could. You know, next up, we're going to speak to Jake Murphy, captain of the Claremont. He raised some good points about, you know, that's the brand of footy that West Perth play, and they're good at it. But, you know, CB, a powerhouse, 21 possessions, 8 tackles, 6 marks, 29 hitouts.
I hope he goes on next season.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, Claremont started off well. They snagged the first 4 goals, but then they only kicked 4 more goals.
It was one in the second half.
Yeah.
1 goal in the second half. They were pretty lucky to hang on in the end. West Perth were coming.
Yeah.
And I think the sirens sounded at the right time for Claremont, Katie.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it must have been something about that ground announcer as well, getting them up there, Stampy.
Yes, yes. That ground announcer hasn't got any more games to announce anymore. But you know.
It's a sad day for the Claremont Football Club.
Luke Blackwell was impressive again, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. He got another 30 touches. Davies as well, 27. Ryan Neap, 26. And Tom Ledger, 25. So, yeah, fantastic effort there for Claremont. And for West Perth, Seven Martin and Max Alexander, they kicked 2 goals each. And Aaron Black got 36 touches, Shane Nelson 31, and Luke Meadows 20.
Jackson Starcevic played really well in his second game for the club, kicked another 2 goals, and he actually kicked that only goal in the second half of the Tigers. So he was holding them up as a young man up in the forward line. Brendan Abbott returned, didn't do much up front, he only kicked the 1 goal, and Andrew Foster also played really well as well. But yeah, Tigers held on to their record, their 9th win of the season, and finished 7-2 at the Showgrounds. So they probably wish they had more games at the Showgrounds this season.
Yeah, they play well there, and I think once they built that confidence up on the new ground and got that momentum building, I wonder if they'll transfer to the new stadium when it's done next year.
I think later in the season.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But, yeah, just a quick point on Claremont. Where do you see them going next season? Well, are they a chance? Oh, I think they are.
Are we gonna assume that there's going to be a top 5 now as well?
Not sure.
Yeah, well, I think if they keep up the momentum of the second half and push it all the way through, you know, they've got young guns. If CB signs on again, they keep the same core leadership group, I think they have a lot of potential. Katie?
Yeah, I agree. No, they've been fantastic this second half of the year, and I think they're going to be a real, real threat next year.
Do you reckon they could bring it to the Royals?
I don't know. Not many teams can.
Turn it up.
Hi, this is Basil Zemplis. Mondays, can't wait for Mondays to come around because you know what that means. Online, there it is, my brand new edition of the Monday Waffle.
Well, it's been an up and down season for the Claremont Tigers this year. They've now won 5 games in a row and are finishing the season really strongly, but will miss out on finals, unfortunately. Captain Jake Murphy joins us now. Jake, a great win on the weekend, 5 games in a row now, but you must be kicking yourself over your first half of the season.
Yeah, mate, it's definitely 2 sides of the story. Great to be in some good form at the moment and to see that we've really turned things around from the start of the year, but obviously frustrating that we couldn't have stringed together, you know, 1 or 2 more wins early in the year and could have been a chance for finals. And with our form at the moment, you know, we're confident to beat anyone, really. So, yeah, good and bad, but that's always good to be playing well this time of year.
Yeah, you guys have had a lot of close calls, but also on the weekend, CB played a great game, 21 possessions, 8 tackles, 6 marks and 29 hitouts. Is that the standard of footy Tigers are looking to follow up on next season?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's a really good building block to kick into pre-season next year and then hopefully start things, you know, with a bang from round 1 and really give it a good crack next year when we've got, you know, hopefully Bo Meister and Ian Richardson back in the side, are really shore up the forward line, and then, you know, fingers crossed, Stevie will play on and our midfield will be just as strong as it is this year. So, Yeah, it's encouraging signs for next year.
You said before that you'd hope to be playing finals. Would you consider yourself like a legit chance of making an impact over a side like Swans, who are just struggling with form at the moment?
It is a bit of a hypothetical, but yeah, I think, you know, if there was a top five, I think we'd definitely be in a good position to really challenge, you know, to win, you know, a couple of finals, and who knows what can happen in finals. So, yeah, it would be nice if we were in it, but it's tough to think that way when you're not.
Yeah, you guys have got a great foundation of players now, especially coming through. But over the weekend, West Perth played a defensive game. You know, that must have been really frustrating in those contests, especially when guys, and they don't have anything to gain from playing that form of footy.
Yeah, it is. I suppose we have been scoring quite highly of late, but, I mean, that's the way they play. And, you know, real credit to them that they really slowed the scoring down, and they were playing really good footy in the second half, and we only got one goal for the half. So that's, you know, that's their brand of footy, and they play it really well. And I'm sure, you know, like us, they'll probably be raring to get back at the top of the ladder next year.
There's quite a few youngsters coming through the club. Brendan Abbott, Mitch McGovern, Jackson Stasvich, who made his debut 2 weeks ago. The youth's really coming through the club, and good signs for the future, although some of those boys may be in the AFL next year.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Hopefully they do get picked up. There's some, you know, some awesome talent coming through. Yeah, there's some other guys playing reserves and Colts at the moment that are, you know, just as talented. And I think, you know, with another year of development under their belt, another pre-season, they'll be, you know, dominating the Waffle in no time. So, you know, there's some really inspiring young players coming through that are keeping me on my toes and you know, making me enjoy my footy, watching them develop and get better.
And how about your running mate in the middle, Luke Blackwell? We see a real shot at the Standover medal in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, no doubt. He's a big ball magnet, and his season's been just as good as it has in the past, like 2011 and 12. And yeah, fingers crossed for him. He really does deserve another Standover, which would be an awesome achievement.
Just one last question. Your season this season, first season as captain, and you've only just managed the 10 games because of injury, hoping to bounce back next year and have a fully fit season?
Yeah, for sure. It has been frustrating, especially early on watching the side get beaten quite convincingly early in the season. But, you know, I've learnt a lot as captain, and I've definitely taken a few lessons for next year, and, you know, surely in a far better position to lead the side next year and hopefully have a really good pre-season and get injury-free throughout the next year.
Fantastic. Jake, thanks very much for joining us today on the Monday Waffle, and good luck on the weekend finishing off the season strong.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. We'll do.
It's Monday, so it's the Monday Waffle. Keep listening.
East Frio versus Swan Districts, 18-14, 122-9660. A big win for the Sharks over the Swan Districts, who are now in third, the Sharks, that is. What an interesting turn, seeing as though only a few weeks ago, everyone would have thought that the top four were locked in, and now Sharks are third. Swans are down, continuing the momentum, the losing momentum.
Yeah, Swans had a few guys out earlier in the game. Captain Talon Ames went off with a hamstring, and key midfielder Blaine Boakhorst went off with a knee injury. And also Nathan Blakely, the ruckman, hurt his ankle late in the game. So
it's not looking good for Swans.
It goes from bad to worse for the Swans, and I just can't see them competing in the finals. They'll verse the Sharks in 2 weeks' time, but it could be the same story.
Yeah, that's right. And the Sharks are hopefully for them going to host the Swans at a home semi-final unless they get pumped by Subi this weekend and bring them back down the fourth.
They could though, Jack. If the Sharks pump Subi, they could actually finish second.
Oh,
but
well,
they'd have to win by a heck of a lot because it's like 20% makeup.
Yeah, that's probably about 300 points.
Yeah. Well, you know, if Subi phoned it in again,
if they don't put a team in the park.
It's happened before.
Roy O'Brien was amongst the possession winners again, wasn't he, Katie?
Yeah, he collected 33 touches. Dalziel, 29. Brock O'Brien, 26. And McNamara, 25. They're doing very well there, the Sharks. Ricky Carey and Aiden Anderson for the Swans kicked 2 goals each. Ryan Davis was good again, 32 touches. Connor Blakely, 25, and Cassidy, 21.
I think East Fremantle's goal kickers really showed how much depth they have. 13 individual goal kickers throughout the day, and it showed what an even team performance it was for them.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Well, much of the focus for this contest was between the two AFL partner clubs with Fremantle and West Coast players, but it was East Perth controlling the whole day, winning 14 goals, 21, 105 to 5 goals, 9, 39. Katie, you were down there. How was the game?
I was. It was another great week to be a Royal supporter, Stampy. Also got wins in the Colts and reserves, as I said last week. So we're having a good end to the season. But Peel, unfortunately for them, they didn't kick a goal till the 23rd minute mark of the third quarter. So the Royals really dominated.
Yeah, where's all their depth gone, though? They used to be a contention. Like, they weren't necessarily winning every week, but they'll bring it to teams. And now they've sort of fallen flat. But, you know, it's East Perth ending on a high note. They've capped it off as the minor premiers, so that's good for them. And one game before the big clash at Medibank Stadium against co-tenant Subi, Katie.
Mm. That's right, yeah. Josh Smith, again, was great. He kicked 4 goals and Paul Johnson got 3, so they were all doing very well. We actually had a couple of debutantes as well, Bo Chatley and Julian Amaduri, so it's good to see. And Shanahan was still there. So
how'd they play? How'd the debutantes play?
Yeah, they were very good. Amaduri kicked a goal and the players ran from the back half of the field to congratulate him, so it was good to see.
Last week I spoke about how East Perth would probably get a host of Eagles players back, but on the weekend only 6 players lined up for the Royals: Callum Sinclair, Ash Smith, Fraser McInnes, Simon Tunbridge and Brant Coledge. So a lot of depth running around for the Royals, hey?
Yeah, it's good to see. And especially coming into the finals, it's good to see that, yeah, there's plenty of options available and plenty of talent as well.
Now, you said you've mentioned it. We were talking over the weekend. You said you've mentioned it before on the podcast, but I only just noticed there's a Hayden Ballantyne wing at Bendigo Bank Stadium. What are your thoughts on that, guys? Does he deserve a wing?
I give them inspiration. I said it one week, how it gave some of them some inspiration, Morabito running around there.
Why don't I have a wing named after me?
Yeah, put your wing down at Shark Park for all your jokes that you say.
Just get them drawn up on the...
He's the king of Mandra, though, isn't he?
He is the king of Mandra. Yeah, so.
But speaking of that, Peel, 12 Fremantle-listed players in their side this week. And that's the performance that they came out with. It's just, where were they?
They're gone missing, exactly like Katie has. But, yeah, I don't know, Jack. I don't know where they all went. I should say congratulations to Kepler Bradley, who announced his retirement from AFL last week. So I don't think he'll be around Peel next year. I think he might be in red and blue colours for the Falcons again. He might return.
That's all right, but he's had a fantastic career regardless. Well done.
So East Perth continuing their merry way into the finals, and I think we all agree that they're the favourites heading into September.
One, 2, 1. It's the last round before the finals. Make sure you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Time to get your tips out with the boys. It's round 23. Well, let's have a look back at what's just happened, though. Katie, 4 out of 4. The only one of us to pick South Frio, Claremont, East Frio, and East Perth. Well done, mate. You know, you're so far behind, but you're still giving it a real go. That's all that matters.
I'm giving it a red hot crack, Jack, and I'm getting back up there. So it's nice to see from me.
It is. You're not that far.
Yeah, you're on 48. Jack,
can we count finals? Is that...
I think that's still in question, but a traditional really tipping comp doesn't go into finals. So we'll just go through it. You're on 48, so you've climbed back a lot. Jack and Bonnie are on 54, and I'm out in front on 57.
Stab and twist. I held on for so long, but you...
I really just went ahead of you, didn't I?
Yeah, well, you're slowly creeping up. I made a few mistakes, didn't take enough risks, and then you're one below, tie, and now you're shooting ahead of me. And look, the race isn't over till it's over, so we've still got one more round, maybe, unless we do some sort of magic pool thing. But this week, we've got the Bulldogs versus Peel, Royals versus Tigers, and Demons v Falcons, and the Subi v Sharks. A couple of interesting games to throw it out, a couple of risks I'm going to dare to take.
All right, let's get into it, shall we?
Do it, Jack.
All right, so the first game is on Saturday at Fremantle Oval at 2 o'clock. South Fremantle versus Peel. The Bulldogs are hoping for their 5th win in a row. What are your thoughts, guys?
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs. It's hard to go past.
Especially after their big win on the weekend as well. So that's an easy game for all of us. East Perth versus Claremont. Jack, let's get your thoughts on this one.
Look, Katie, I'm glad you're phoning it in today because I'm going to go Tigers. I can just imagine the death stare that you'd be giving me right now. Look, I think Tigers, you know, they can't go anywhere, but they have a lot to prove. They want to be a superstar team next season, and they could have been this season if they were just a bit slow off the mark. Royals, they're already going to be the minor premierships. They're definitely in the finals. You know, they could just phone it in. They could be a little bit too comfortable.
They could rest. They can afford to rest players. Yeah, I kind of want to go Claremont, but just for the sake of it, I want to go East Perth just so we have an opposition or something. So I'm going to go with the Royals just because I want to be different.
Fair enough. Katie?
Yeah, East Perth.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah. No, just kidding. Demons v Falcons.
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 Demons have lost 13 in a row. Their last win was in round 7 against Peel.
I feel so bad. I feel so bad for Perth.
It's at Lathlane.
Oh, it's Lathlane. Ah. Well, that changes things, actually.
I hope Perth do win. Are you the same?
They're due for a win. Yeah. I've got some mates down at the Demons. Like, they're great guys. I really hope they can get their act together, but I'm placing my bets on Falcons. Yeah. So, boys, prove me wrong.
Katie?
I'm tipping Perth. It's the last round of the year. I think they've had, they had 13 losses in a row. I think they can win their last game.
I hope you're right. I hope they can win.
Yeah.
All right, and then the last game, we've got a Sunday game here.
Woo!
We haven't had a Sunday game for nearly the whole season, have we?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I think this is because East Perth and Subi are both playing at Medibank, so they both can't play at Medibank on Saturday, can they?
No, I just play in between. They have really long quarters.
they could be the Little League. So we've got Subi and East Fremantle. The Sharks must win or stay close in this game to host that elimination final and stay in third spot.
Yeah, I was looking at some stats before. Sharks are statistically more likely to win against Subi, but off the back of this loss against the Bulldogs, they'll be looking for something to prove. That's for Subi. Look,
well, do they have to prove anything? They can sort of rest players again for this game.
Yeah, but Katie mentioned, you know, on a freak occurrence, Sharks could jump to second.
That's not happening.
Lightning could strike twice.
Not happening.
I'm going to put my money on Sharks. I think Subi, although they might not cruise through it, but I don't think they're really stressing too much about it at the moment.
Yeah, same for me. I'm tipping Sharks as well.
Yeah, I'm going to make it three in a row for all of us. Going with the Sharks, I think they have more to play for, and they will. And also the bye, Swan Districts have the bye this week, so they get a chance to rest up and regroup before they take on the Sharkies.
That's going to be hard for them, coming off a string of losses, falling momentum, and a bye right before the finals. Yes, it's time to rest, but
they need practice. They need form.
How's that going to go for their mental game?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I fear for their finals matchup against the Sharks.
That's it for this week's round of the Monday Waffle. Join us next week as we find out who's going to be the finals, who's going to be what. Am I going to catch Stampy? We've only bet one game difference.
So that won't happen, but hey, at least we can talk about it.
Yeah, that's right.
As a promo.
I'm Jack Davidson today. I've been joined by Katie DeHare and Michael Stamp. Keep kicking goals, guys.